And Kathleen David serves as a director of the Santa Cruz County Adolescent Wellness Network, collaborating with schools and community organizations to promote youth services and leadership in Southern Arizona's borderlands. She received her BA in Interdisciplinary Studies, International Studies from the University of Arizona, and an MPH from the University of Washington in Community-Oriented Public Health Practice. Kathleen studied social policy at Central Europe and worked in refugee resettlement, affordable housing, and as a national park ranger. Join me in welcoming Kathleen.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us here, and thanks to our organizers for having us. I'm very excited about the topic today. I hope you'll excuse me. I would like people to stop me as I speak today if you have any other questions. I kept the slides a little bit sparse, so if you need any further elaboration, I'm happy to provide that. I have no relationships to disclose at this time. For today, I'd like for us to be able to talk about the core competencies of the Santa Cruz County, components of the Santa Cruz County Adolescent Wellness Network Youth Involvement Program. I would like to discuss the benefits and the background of a quality youth-adult partnership and apply some of the core competencies maybe to some of the work that you're doing. It'd be interesting to have that discussion at the end. The Santa Cruz County Adolescent Wellness Network mission is to promote adolescent wellness through advocacy, education, and collaboration with youth, and we define adolescents as very broadly in that 12 to 25 range, the schools that serve them, and the community organizations as well. Our network members span a wide variety of different youth-serving organizations. We have behavioral health represented, as well as the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension, Santa Cruz County, the County Superintendent of Schools for Santa Cruz County. The local Area Health Education Center is a fantastic partner in this. They see their mission in supporting the health workforce very broadly and do fantastic work with the high school students and other youth in our community. And we can use their logo for a quick map. That tiny little box at the very bottom center of Arizona is Santa Cruz County. You can see that we're right on the border with Sonora, Mexico. Our county seat, Nogales, is a city of about 30,000 people, and it shares its culture and history with its sister, Nogales, Sonora. And the majority of the county population stretches along the I-19 corridor, which runs north out of Nogales and into Tucson an hour away. The rest of the county is very rural, a lot of cattle country, a lot of mountains. It's a beautiful place. I hope you come visit us sometime. The city of Nogales, where Mariposa Community Health Center is located, is over 90% Hispanic and a fantastic, rich city with a lot of history there. Mariposa Community Health Center provides almost all of the public health services in our county. The county health department does epidemiology, restaurant inspections, emergency preparedness, and everything else from WIC to tuberculosis to public health education and promotion happens out of the Health Behavior and Health Promotion Department at Mariposa Community Health Center. And that has been going on for several decades. They have a very rich tradition of using community health workers in all of the work that they do. That is where I'm located, with the Santa Cruz County Adolescent Wellness Network being housed in that organization. These members are also joined by the three largest public health school districts in our county, and we meet once a month. We are supported by a federal HRSA Rural Health Network Development Grant, which allows a variety of different kinds of organizations in rural areas to get together, share resources, understand particular needs in their county, and collaborate to fill those needs. The goals under our current grant with HRSA are to integrate and enhance the community and school services to address adolescent health disparities in Santa Cruz County. And the main activities that we undertake in order to achieve that goal are capacity building for population health. That's where the Area Health Education Center comes in. They provide fantastic trainings for everyone from teachers to club leaders. Even we have the local police department's Explorers program participating to try and enrich and provide support for the youth services that are out there and encourage the development of further ones. We're also working for environmental and policy change to improve adolescent health and developing youth involvement in our own organization and being a catalyst for that high-quality youth development throughout the county. On the other side of our goal is to have a sustainable system of school-linked healthcare in the county that won't be opening health centers in the schools. It's going to be a system of referral and follow-up between school health staff and all the providers who work in primary care, and hopefully will expand to other types of services for youth so that we have a more integrated system between the schools and other service providers for youth. The Cooperative Extension in Santa Cruz County does fantastic work through their 4-H, of course, on youth development, and I want to acknowledge that they were the lead for the background work and a lot of the development that went on at the beginning of our youth involvement program, and Hannah Masangu was in charge of that. So the Santa Cruz County Adolescent Wellness Network has evolved since 2007. It started out as a small group of people who are interested in youth health and wellness, focusing mainly on active living and healthy eating. The group evolved through health literacy focus and started receiving support from HRSA for this Rural Health Network program in 2009. That's when it first had a network director, started to formalize itself, and then in 2012, the strategic plan recognized that serving youth required that we work more closely with them and ask them for input in the work that we do. And it was in 2013 that we began to implement that with the background work that I mentioned from the Cooperative Extension. They did a fantastic youth involvement binder that included literature review, it included toolkits for getting started, different self-assessments, and then after doing that background work, we created a pilot group that was for teens to help us with the initial development, coming up with operating procedures for the team, things like that. And in 2014 now, we have a team of 8 members that are functioning and having fun as they go along, I hope, as well. A little bit more about the background preparation that started in 2012 and 2013. The readiness assessment that our group used is included in the youth involvement binder, and that can be found on our website that I'll put up at the end of this presentation. That was an opportunity for the adults who were in the network to take a look at ourselves and find out, well, how are we going to accommodate youth? How are we going to meet their needs? What needs to change before we bring them in to what we're doing? And it was a fantastic conversation starter and way for us to recognize that it was us that needed to accommodate them and not expect them to come into what we were already doing. That led into a member survey that was more open-ended, asked us to consider what goals that we had for youth involvement and what challenges we thought might come up. After that, the Cooperative Extension hosted a forum that was community-wide, had about 20 attendees from at least 15 different organizations in the county. All coming together, the Cooperative Extension brought in a national expert on positive youth development, as well as someone from a neighboring county who runs a very successful youth development program in her area. And it was a very exciting opportunity to have the kind of discussion. I don't think that discussion had ever happened in our county, that what are we doing right now, and how can it be expanded, and how can we improve what's already happening to make it more supportive for youth. After that, they hosted focus groups with the teens to find out what their preferences were and their obstacles, and that was an important step because it validated a lot of what they had found in the literature review about the size of the group, how to coordinate the outreach, and how to provide a supportive environment for teens. They really said a lot of the same things that the literature had told us, so that was an exciting and validating moment. And then, as I mentioned, the pilot group started about a year ago with 4 teens that got together and did research on what other groups use as their operating procedures and tailored that to what they wanted their own group to be. So they helped actually create the foundation for then the other four teams to join later on this year. Things that came up throughout our development process and all of those steps that I mentioned before were the need for inclusiveness, that it wasn't us, the adults, and then the teens. The need to create a safe environment for them physically and emotionally, that there should be a certain amount of structure, but that the teens should be a part of creating that structure, and the supportive relationships that needed to happen between the adults and the youth. And then it wasn't just us needing them to be our advisory council. That was one component, that they keep up with what the network is doing and give us advice on it and are actually full voting members. But it also needs to be a rich opportunity for them. They have a lot going on in their lives. They're busy people, and we needed to make sure that we were using their time wisely and giving a lot in return for that. So that was the opportunity to belong, the opportunity to serve their community, and then the opportunity to develop skills. They were very savvy about wanting what would be good for their resume during this process, and so those were important pieces for us. We have this planning process that's developed now, and I'm here to share it with you all, and you can also access it on our website. We've implemented organizational change in our network, which means that there are two voting youth representatives on our board. It was very important to us that they not be an advisory council, that they actually are allowed to vote. And the reason that we chose two is that it's the same rule for the other organizations that are network members. Each organization can only have two voting members at any given meeting. Right now, we only have four meetings a year where the youth attend. That's due to scheduling difficulties. One of the high schools in our county is on the later start time schedule right now, and so the earliest that we could start a meeting with the youth is 4 o'clock, and we struggle with the adult involvement at that point in the afternoon. Everyone has children that they need to get from school and things, so we're working on improving that. There are four times a year that all of the teens attend, and two of them are able to vote in our meetings. So that's one-third of the meetings that we have that component. As far as enrichment activities for the youth, one of my goals in developing this program is to have problem-based learning involved in it. That's an adult learning method that I experienced at University of Washington in my graduate program, and it involves giving the student the ability to facilitate and lead their learning using real-world scenarios to allow the student to work through not only content but also leadership skills as they're going through the learning process. We use it very loosely. It's a very well-developed part of adult learning, but we're using a very broad definition of it, and having kind of open-ended discussions with the teens on topics and allowing them to lead their own research and developing what intervention they want to have in association with it. They facilitate their own meetings. We help them just by doing kind of the background work, providing almost administrative support for them, so it doesn't take up too much of their time, but they still have that leadership responsibility. We attended the School-Based Health Center Alliance convention. That was in Seattle this summer, and they have a youth track, so we were able to take three teams. You can see the picture there along with us. I think that was a very rich opportunity for them. And right now, they're in the process of developing a workshop for the Youth on the Border Conference. That's a countywide conference that one of our partner organizations is organizing. And we handed them a whole 40-minute slot, and they'll run through five different sessions as the conference progresses. And they were assigned the topic by conference organizers of internet safety, and they've done their research and created a whole session on that they'll be presenting. They also received advocacy training from the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension. And we take that part of that problem-based learning is taking the time to identify and define a public health problem in our county and just going through the process of doing the research, finding out what are the contributing factors, what are possible interventions, and then they kind of pick and choose what they want to do with that as far as a service or learning experience. We would like to improve our recruitment and outreach. One of the key points of a quality positive youth development program, I believe, is being sure that it includes all youth in the area and not just the superstars. And so far, the majority of our involved members are also in 7 other clubs and the stars in their schools. We tried our hardest to reach out further than that with our initial outreach, but haven't quite perfected that method. So that's a goal for us in the future, is to make sure that we're being more inclusive. It is important to us to implement one-on-one mentorship with the teens to provide them a stronger connection to the professionals that they're seeing in the meetings. And then, of course, we want this these ideas to be spread throughout our county and nationally as well. One of the successes was these network meetings. It came up several times in discussions with the adults in our network that they felt it would be too boring for the teens to come to our network meetings. We thought that there would be we would be down in the weeds talking about budget issues, and the teens love it. So that was a huge lesson for the adults involved, to not sell them short. They enjoy coming to the meetings because we're there with all the grown-ups. I don't think it's boring. We don't hear that kind of stuff every day. So that was an exciting and an eye-opening moment for us. Things that are definitely challenges, and I apologize I didn't put this in a slide, is the time commitment. Some of these teens, because our county is spread out, some live far away, some in more the more rural areas aren't able to participate because of the time and transportation issues. We can offer transportation to them, but even still, it's a long drive to get back from school and then home again, so we don't get the kind of participation we would like from the farther out reaches. And as I mentioned earlier, outreach, we want to make sure is even more inclusive of the whole county. And later on, I hope that we can discuss what's going on in your organizations, how you might like to share your ideas. I hope I can steal some ideas from everyone else here and apply this model to other work that's going on in your organizations. I have to outline all of the things that I discussed now are available on adolescentwellness.net. We have the youth involvement binder that the Cooperative Extension created, as well as a resource guide for our county that is always in need of being updated, and other resources from the trainings that we created through this Area Health Education Center in our county. And you can connect with us on Facebook, of course. And I'd like to thank you very much for your time.